Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 2 to 3 on KGYM.
I could start singing Ice, Ice Baby, but I feel like that would lead to even fewer listeners than we already have on this radio program. Welcome in, Icy Wednesday. Hope you're safe. You're doing well. Hope you remembered your ice skates when you went to work or maybe school today, although schools were canceled. So that part of the sentence does not make sense. Spencer on Sports. We are here. We're nice and warm inside the KGYM studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids on this February 22nd of 2023. 319-366-1600. Lots of sports to get to on another wintry Wednesday. Going to start with the world of college hoops. Spend some time looking back on a couple of disappointing performances last night. Iowa women in action against Maryland. Game was over by the end of the second quarter, and then the Iowa State men and Texas last night down in Austin did not go well for the Cyclones. So 0-for-2 in the big games, the in-state teams last night. Iowa men will try to make up for it tonight. They are in Madison. They are going to play that game. Fran McCaffrey mentioning yesterday in his Zoom news conference that they were leaving yesterday to get ahead of the storm. Of course, Wisconsin doesn't have to go anywhere, just to basically across campus to get to the Kohl Center. So that game is on as scheduled up in Madison, the 8 p.m. tip-off tonight on Big Ten Network. We'll take a look at that game, hear from Fran McCaffrey, preview the second meeting between the Hawkeyes and the Badgers. First in a couple months, have not seen each other since December 7th. Things have changed for both teams. We'll talk about that matchup coming up later on in the show. Get to the world of college hoops. We're also going to hear a little bit from Tom Izzo. Emotional game last night in East Lansing. Michigan State. I just made all the Spartan fans out there mad by saying that. A little slip of the tongue, but Michigan State with a resounding win over Indiana last night. Let's be honest, I didn't think Indiana was going to win that game last night, considering the circumstances. First game in East Lansing since the shooting on campus last week, Monday. I thought the Spartans were going to win that one, and they did pretty handily last night, knocking off the number 17 Hoosiers. Tom Izzo spoke with Scott Van Pelt on SportsCenter last night. We'll play you back a little bit of what he had to say about just being in that moment and being able to not only lead his team to a win, but, help continue the healing process in East Lansing. We'll talk about that, and we'll hear from Izzo coming up later on in the show. Got some NFL news to get to, some not-so-good news for the XFL when it comes to TV ratings, a little baseball news, and if we get some time, more from the sports media landscape about where potentially Pac-12 games could be seen going forward. And, say this. It's not a broadcast TV network. At least if we are to believe the latest rumors or latest sources about the Pac-12 media rights deal, which could be agreed to very soon. 319-366-1600, talk or text line open for you here today. Producer Isaac is along for the ride today as well here on this Wednesday, and we will get an update from the folks at Iowa's News Now coming up here in just a bit with meteorologist Rebecca Kobelman. But just to recap, not sure what the latest weather updates are. I want to keep you informed about that. Much of eastern Iowa, basically north of Highway 30, is under an ice storm warning until noon tomorrow. If you are in Johnson County, you are under a winter weather advisory. If you're to the south of Johnson County, towards Washington and Ottumwa and Burlington, well, there's like chance of severe weather. So really very odd system, very spring-like system in the Midwest here. But primarily in the local area, icing is the concern. Folks having to travel to Dubuque for some work today, and they were not too thrilled that they had to make that trip. But if you do have to be out, certainly want you to be safe here as we head further into the afternoon and into the evening. The good news, and this forecast kind of trend continues, if I'm looking at the National Weather Service here, once this all gets out of here by late tonight and into early tomorrow, Saturday, sunny and 41, Sunday, sunny and 48, Monday, rain likely in 52. So, hello spring, again. We're probably going to continue this roller coaster if I had to put my money on it here for the next gosh knows how long. But be safe out there. 32 current temperature in Cedar Rapids with that light freezing rain and sleet mix making things slick out there. If anything breaks news-wise in the next, when it comes to weather, in the next hour or so, of course, during the duration of our local shows here on the gym, we will certainly keep you up to date. But on to sports. Let's talk about... disappointing, to say the very, very least, last night. I know interacting with some folks on Twitter during the game last night, really just surprising lack of effort. I mean, we knew Maryland was good at home as a place Iowa had never won. Since Maryland's joined the conference, the Hawkeye women have never won at the Xfinity Center in College Park. They're now 0-6 there, so maybe not overtly surprising, but surprising considering how well this Iowa team has been playing. The fact that aside from that first quarter, which was not an ideal first quarter, Iowa still had the lead after one, but things slipping away in a big way in the second quarter as the Hawkeyes fall to Maryland, a battle of top 10 teams, and it was the number 7 Terrapins who got some revenge for their loss in Iowa City just a few short weeks ago, winning 96-68 last night. And here's what Lisa Bluter had to say after the game in College Park.
I just want to congratulate Maryland. They played a great game, came out, and I mean, they just really did a great job in that second quarter. I thought the first quarter we did an okay job. We were winning by one. The second quarter is what really defined this game, in my opinion. Turned the ball over too many times. We gave up too many old boards in that second quarter. And everything that they put up went in tonight. And so it was kind of a reverse of what happened at our place. So it will move on.
And move on they will. Another big one coming up here this Sunday, of course, with the number 2 team in the country coming to town. Before we talk about that, more on what happened last night. You heard her mention that second quarter, Iowa leading 20-19 after the first quarter, but Maryland just flipping the switch, flipping the game on its head in that second frame, 27-8, outscoring the Hawkeyes. So plus 19 in the second quarter. And ESPN Stats and Info sharing this last night, it was tied, that margin, the plus 19 margin in the second quarter, tied for the second largest scoring margin this season in a quarter against a top 10 opponent. And the Hawkeyes were involved in the other second-largest scoring margin this year. That was back in December when they were plus 19 in the third quarter in their game against Iowa State. That second quarter really was disastrous for Iowa. Not only was Maryland making everything in sight, the Hawkeyes 4 of 19 from the field in that second quarter, 0 for 10 from three-point distance. When you look at the tail of the tape, one of the big things that sticks out like a sore thumb definitely was that second quarter really decided that game last night. When it comes down to it, and this is the second time we've seen this here within the last few weeks, we saw it against Indiana, and we saw it again last night with the Maryland Terrapins really neutralizing the effect Monica Sonato had in the post. Sonato with 4 points, 9 rebounds, took just 5 shots. In fact, she had 1 shot in that first quarter. Maryland doing a good job defensively on her. So 4 points, 9 rebounds for Sonato. Caitlin Clark still finished in double figures, kind of a misleading a double figure stat line for her. 18 points, 5 rebounds, and 4 assists. Your, I guess, sung heroes, if we want to put it that way, of the game last night. Gabby Marshall, who finished 5 of 10 from three-point distance, 15 points for her, and Sydney Fulter, 14 points and 8 rebounds on the night. But all told, not enough, nearly enough, to keep up with the Maryland team that was shooting, going into the game last night, mid-30s percentage-wise from 3, 53% from beyond the arc last night, 14 of 26. Brené Alexander, 6 of 9 from three-point range. She finished with 24. Lavender Briggs, a perfect 3 for 3 from beyond the arc, 19 points. And Cheyenne Sellers, one of their big scorers, double-double for her, 17 and 10, 17 points and 10 rebounds. And another game, and a little bit lesser points for Diamond Miller, and more foul trouble for her. And we talked about that in the show yesterday. Maybe, you know, maybe foul trouble and or lack thereof would play a big role in this game. And, well, it didn't really play a role at all. Maryland getting good production from players outside of their two key players in Sellers and Miller. Miller only played 26 minutes. She ended up fouling out of the game, 16 points on the night. So she did get her contributions, but that was, nine less than what she had in Iowa City. But a ton of credit going to the defense for Maryland from the Iowa women's basketball camp. A couple clips here from Lisa Bluder. She talked about their struggles on offense. What led to them last night?
I think Maryland did a really good job being physical and denying passing lanes, and they just did a really good job. I think that we were a little sloppy, but I think it was because of Maryland's great defense.
What was Maryland able to do specifically to bottle up Caitlin Clark?
They denied the heck out of her, right? They face guarded her the whole time. So that was great. I mean, they did a really good job with that. That was really the best we've seen all year. They did a really good job with it.
Same thing about Monica. What were they did to kind of try to limit her touches?
All right, they had somebody in front of her, somebody behind her the whole time, you know, and so they were, you know, basically had two people around her and did a great job with it. A
couple clips again from Lisa Bluder from last night. You heard the first one giving credit to Maryland's defense, as a whole for what they did against the Iowa offense, admitting, hey, yeah, we were sloppy. There was the clip, if you watched the game on TV last night, they had the in the huddle cut in right before they went back to action, and heard Coach Bluder saying, "We're not running our offense. You know, we're rushing things. We're not setting up what we need to set up. We're not running our offense." Saying that in the huddle to the team, and give credit to Maryland for where it is. But a little from column A, a little from column B, really, when you look at it last night for the Iowa team, a lack of success shooting the ball, lack of success from three-point distance last night, shooting the ball, like I mentioned before, 35% for Iowa. Maryland was red hot, and you got to tip your cap. Sometimes the perfect storm, is surrounding you, going on the road, a place you never won, a team that was out for a little bit of revenge after what happened in Iowa City, 14-point defeat there, coming out and just playing the game of their lives last night, and certainly Maryland earning that one in Iowa, certainly don't want to understate it by saying disappointing, but considering the momentum this team had, a disappointing and a frustrating performance. So if you're an Iowa fan, a game that, certainly Iowa, if they come out firing, they, you know, maybe it's a one possession game down the stretch, you give yourself a chance to win. But in the end, that game was largely over after that second quarter where things spiraled out of control. Iowa did have the lead. We mentioned that first quarter in that game. The Hawkeyes had as big a five-point lead in the first. Lead was down to one. And then that big second quarter helping Maryland push that lead out. They led by as much as 30 in that fourth quarter. So no time to dwell on it. It's one of those games, you know, if you're Iowa, flush it because you got a big one coming up. And this was kind of the we talked about this yesterday on the show. I put out the question, you know, how do you see this playing out for Iowa? Two games against top 10 teams with Maryland last night and then number two Indiana coming up on Sunday. I thought, you know, 1-1 was the likely scenario, considering the quality of opponent. 0-2 in the stretch was not out of the question, at least in my mind. I don't think it's likely or it was likely when we talked yesterday. But a quick turnaround, and like I said, no time to dwell on it if you're Iowa, because you got a really good basketball team coming into your house. And, they've already clinched the loss last night for Iowa, helping Indiana clinch the regular season title outright. Still plenty to play for if you're the Hawkeyes, though, and it starts with this Indiana team who beat you once. They want to do it again, but if you want to get that win on your home floor. Certainly need to refocus quickly to a good Indiana team coming up. Number two seed still in the balance for Iowa. I shared this on the KGYM Facebook page earlier, but if the season ended today, Iowa would be the number three seed in the Big Ten women's basketball tournament, so they would get the double bye into the quarterfinals. Still an opportunity to get the number two seed if they were to pull off the victory coming up here on Sunday. But as of today, currently locked into the number three seed. Your top four seeds in the women's side. We'll get to the men's side coming up in our next segment. But your top four seeds on the women's side: Indiana, number one, Maryland, number two, Iowa, number three, and Ohio State, number four. Rest of the seeds look like this. Again, if it ended today, not locked in, not set in stone, we'll find out more, of course, after this weekend. But Michigan would be your five, Illinois would be the six, Purdue the seven, and Rutgers the 10, Nebraska the eight, Michigan State the nine. Then you see Penn State at 11, Northwestern at 14, Wisconsin at 12, and Minnesota at 13. Those two games that I just mentioned there, those two matchups between the Gophers and the Badgers, the Wildcats, and the Nittany Lions would be your opening round games in the Big Ten women's tournament, again, if the season were to end today. So Iowa with a disappointing and a tough loss last night as they lose to Maryland on the road and get clobbered by Maryland last night in that Indiana game coming up Sunday. Tip-off time is set for 1 p.m. from Carver Hawkeye Arena with College Game Day coming to town. Should be a great atmosphere there in front of a sold-out crowd in Iowa City. 2:21. Let's do this. Take a quick timeout. Get you that weather update I promised you from meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman, and we'll come back, talk some men's basketball, look back on last night's action, look ahead to tonight's, which includes Iowa and Wisconsin. Rivalry renewed. The series throughout 173 games played, tied up at 86. Nobody has the edge. Someone's going to take a one-game edge in the all-time series tonight, depending on what happens in Madison. We'll break that down, hear from Fran McCaffrey, and more on the other side of this break. Spencer on Sports with you on a Wednesday on the Gym.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and we are going to have ice continuing to lead to tough travel through this afternoon and evening. Freezing rain that will be persistent and heavy at times is going to lead to accumulation up to a quarter of an inch of ice. That will lead to slick travel as well as the potential for power outages due to ice on power lines and trees. Winds are going to be picking up as we head through this evening and through the day tomorrow. That could continue to lead to those issues. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
It's that time of year again.
What time is that, Clayton?
Wedding band season.
Hey, we are Joseph and Clayton Hoyt.
And we're stoked to let you know about our 11th annual wedding band show and sale.
The sale is 2 days only, March 4th and 5th. So put it on your calendar and set a reminder.
It's the biggest wedding band show in the Cedar Rapids area.
Newly engaged? Perfect timing.
Married for a while?
It's a great time to update those rings.
We'll be showcasing our top designers, including Noam Carver, Crown Ring, Carlex, and Blue Royale.
You and your fiance will find something that you both love.
Check out our website or call us to schedule your time to look over this incredible selection.
We'll also have excellent financing options.
And we'll throw in a free groove silicone band and a torque sports wedding band on the house with any purchase of precious metal rings during the show.
This is the biggest wedding band show in the Cedar Rapids area.
And it's only at Seepke Hoyt Jewelers in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, corner of Collins and First Ave.
Call to set up your appointment today.
Sweetness is in the air. Sweethearts, sweet treats. And now Imon is offering the sweetest deal of the year on their fastest reliable fiber internet service. Sign up with Imon and get free internet service for 2 full months. That's right. Iowa's most reliable internet, one all-in monthly price, 2 full months free. All backed by the sweetest local customer support available. The best deal of the year is only available until February 26th. So give Imon a try today and enjoy 2 full months of internet free. Visit go.imon.net/radio to make the switch to Imon. New residential customers only. Other restrictions apply.
Get 11% off everything at Menards. Upgrade any space and maximize storage with great closet systems from Dakota Closets. Make your storage your own with our selection of custom sizes and styles. Dakota Closets are easy to set up and are great for hanging clothes and storing accessories in any room of your house. Dakota Closets are 11% off. Good through February 26th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big
Back at 224 with Spencer on Sports on an icy Wednesday. Thanks for joining us here today at 319-366-1600. Recapped a rough one last night for the Iowa women as they fall at Maryland. Indiana coming to town. Final game of the regular season coming up on Sunday. We'll get to a big game tonight here coming up in just a few moments. In fact, we'll jump right in then look back at Iowa State and Texas from last night coming up here in just a few moments. And we'll hear from Tom Izzo. I promised a little bit of sound from him after emotional night in East Lansing last night as Michigan State beat Indiana, only Big Ten game on the schedule last night. But let's jump in with Iowa and Wisconsin for tonight, 8 o'clock start time on BTN. The Hawkeyes at 17-10 overall, 9-7 in the Big Ten. Wisconsin, talked about them a little bit yesterday, 15-11 overall, 7-9 in the Big Ten. Been a while since Iowa's played Wisconsin. It was last year. We could pull out one of those jokes, but it was back on December 11th of 2022. Of course, Wisconsin winning in overtime 78-75. Hawkeyes forcing overtime, going on an 8-0 run. Three-pointer by Patrick McCaffrey, tying that game up with 15 seconds left. Wisconsin able to pull it out in the end, outscoring Iowa 18-15. Obviously, kind of a different run here for both these teams. Wisconsin's been inconsistent, the word I've used to describe them before. As we talked about the last couple days or so, kind of looking at this matchup, alternating wins and losses this month, beating Ohio State 65-60. And then with that kind of pattern, you see them lose at home to Northwestern, picked up an overtime win at Penn State, then got blown out in overtime by Nebraska 73-63, got a big win over Michigan, and then lost by 1 point at home to Rutgers. So not really sure each night in and out what Badger team you're going to get. Are they going to, light the world on fire and hit their shots and play good defense and create turnovers and get second chance opportunities like the Badgers love to do? Or are they going to be ice cold take bad shots and just not play all that well? Kind of hard to figure out what Badger team you're going to get, but especially at home. They are okay at home. They're not the best at home record-wise, but they are playing a little bit better at home than they are on the road here so far this season. They are, 8-5 at home this year, 4-5 on the road. So a little bit better at home than they are on the road. You're not seeing like a big split like you see with other teams. Like, take Iowa, for example, who's 13-2 at home, but 3-6 on the road. So certainly there is a little bit of a home court advantage, maybe not the same you're used to seeing at the Kohl Center with this Wisconsin team. But inconsistency, sometimes you have a good night, sometimes you have a bad night. And that's what we've been seeing with this Wisconsin team. And inconsistency on the road is something we've been seeing with this Iowa team, too. They've won 9 of their last 13, yes, but you look at how the season has played out for Iowa. Certainly, some missed opportunities on the road. Still plenty of conversation surrounding what happened this past weekend with an opportunity to sweep Northwestern and improve your standings in the Big Ten, or improve your standing, improve your place in the Big Ten. You lose by 20 points, and you were abysmal shooting the basketball, especially from three. An abysmal first half against Purdue cost you an upset bid in West Lafayette last week Thursday. Poor three-point shooting, poor foul shooting cost you a very winnable game at Michigan State. A poor second half against Ohio State cost you a game there, which, down the stretch here might be Ohio State's one of their few wins on the season in conference play. So if Iowa can just shake that inconsistency, especially on the road, and pick up some wins here in places where it is notoriously tough to play, it'll put them in a good spot. Playing at Wisconsin, I think it's certainly a more doable, more winnable game than, say, playing at Indiana coming up here on Tuesday. You know, would I say with 100% certainty they're going to win tonight at Wisconsin? No, because we know how Wisconsin plays, and we know the style of basketball they play, and can be a tough team to defend and a tough team to go up against, considering how they like to dictate the tempo. And Fran McCaffrey talked about going up against Wisconsin and what they like to do on offense in his press conference yesterday.
If they don't run traditional set plays where they're making a play call or one of the assistant coaches holding up a sign, a lot of it is based on read and react. So they're running action more than they're running plays. And the kids have a really good feel for how you're playing them. Are you hugging them? Are you off? Are you on the side? And they try to take advantage of that. So, you know, it requires five guys being committed together every possession, because they're kind of relying on, you know, somebody's going to stand up, somebody's going to turn their head, somebody's going to relax, and that's when they get you. So you got to have a level of tenacity and physicality without fouling. There's a lot of teams just beat you up now. So you got to be physical without fouling. And then you got to limit them to one shot if you can. Last game, I believe they had 15 offensive rebounds. You know, sometimes they get back to take away your fast break, but they will go to the glass, and they've proven that.
Fran McCaffrey from yesterday talking about defending Wisconsin and how you go about combating them on the defensive side of the ball with your defense against what they run on offense. In the last meeting, big man Tyler Wahl was one of their key players, their leading scorer, 21 points and 7 rebounds. Connor Sejan, he was off the bench in the first meeting against the Hawkeyes. He's been inserted in their starting lineup, and as a freshman does, he has some really good games, and you know, he has some games that I'm sure he would wish that were a bit different. Asijin, 14 points, 6 rebounds last time out, and Stephen Crowell, 12 points, 6 rebounds, and 7 assists. Now, the big difference in this one for Iowa is they will have two key guys back, and Chris Murray and Aaron Ulis. They both did not play in that first meeting with Wisconsin. It was Patrick McCaffrey with 24 points, Connor McCaffrey, so the McCaffrey duo, I guess trio, if you toss in Fran to the mix as well. Patrick with 24, Connor with 17 and 10, and then Tony Perkins adding in 17. So adding Chris Murray and Aaron Ulis back in certainly cannot hurt the Hawkeyes here going up against Wisconsin for the second time. And with such a big gap in between the meetings, December 11th, to February 22nd. It's been a while since you've seen them, and things certainly have like we said before, gone a little bit differently for both these teams down the stretch here. Fran McCaffrey talked about that yesterday, too.
They made a change in the starting lineup, but you know, those two guys are going to play a lot of minutes anyway, so it really doesn't matter, I guess, who starts and who comes in off the bench. You know, they're not going to change much with what they do. They have a system that's worked. You know, obviously, a lot has happened between then and now. But, you know, we're different, I think, in a lot of ways. Obviously, we didn't have Chris that night, but Connor's now in a starting position. You know, Ulis and Perkins have had an opportunity to gain more experience. You know, but the same for them, you know, in the roles that they're in. I mean, Chucky's Chucky, you know, and you know, Chucky and Tyler Wahl and Stephen Crowell, you kind of expect what you get from them. But, you know, you got a CGN who's a really good freshman, and Klesman, who's a transfer, you know, so now they've had more time to blend in with what they're doing. Davis is a good player. Gilmore is good. Obviously, we're on the road. It'll be a little bit different.
Fran McCaffrey from yesterday, you heard him mention being on the road. Things going to be a bit different there. Wisconsin has done well. They do well at the Kohl Center, you know, regardless. I mentioned they're only 8-5 this year, but when you look back on the all-time series versus some of these teams, actually most of the Big Ten, it's hard-pressed. You're hard-pressed to find somebody who goes in to the Kohl Center and just, you know, dominates and wins regularly, more so during the Bo Ryan years, maybe the early parts of the Greg Gard tenure in Wisconsin or at Wisconsin. But of the last 17 games in Madison, Wisconsin has won 14 of them. Last 17 games versus the Hawkeyes in Madison, I should add. Wisconsin has won 14 of them. Iowa just 5-14 all time at the Kohl Center. So the Kohl Center has not been a kind place to the Iowa basketball team, although they did win more recently back in 2021. But you have to dig for the wins here to find those between Iowa and Wisconsin, especially from the Hawkeyes' perspective. We talked about this too, Joe Lunardi. Wisconsin a little bit to play for. They had their struggles. They've had some solid wins. They beat Marquette, who's surging here. Big win for them last night over Creighton. The Badgers, they've got some decent wins on their schedule, some that probably put them a little bit further ahead of some of the other potential Big Ten bubble teams. Just going through their lineup here, their schedule, I should say. They beat USC on a neutral floor. They beat Marquette. They won at home over Maryland. Of course, they have the win in Iowa City back on December 11th. They swept Penn State. Penn State has fallen kind of out of the picture here. They do have a win over Michigan in recent times. So despite the struggles they've had, they have built a resume that is starting to look a little bit better, and especially if you're beating other bubble teams. Obviously, the logic is, maybe that puts you ahead of a team like Michigan or Penn State. So Wisconsin, at least in the latest bracketology, and this is the question I posed, and I stirred the pot a little bit yesterday, talking about who would you choose, Nevada with Steve Alford over Wisconsin, if you had to pick one team to cheer for. They were playing each other. A lot of people choosing Wisconsin. In fact, I think everybody who chimed in chose Wisconsin, which I'm not surprised at, but Joe Lunardi has Wisconsin playing in the first four. And he has them currently, and this was as of yesterday, his last team in the field. So the Badgers have plenty to play for here. They've got an interesting schedule coming up. Obviously, nothing guaranteed in the Big Ten. They do have to go to Michigan. They host Purdue. That is going to be interesting because we've seen how Purdue has played on the road this season. The Badgers knock off Purdue at home on March 2nd. I think you got to pencil them in to the field pretty solidly, don't you? I feel like that's, not necessarily a given that they're going to win that game, number one, but if they can beat Purdue, I think they're pretty solidly in. They close at Minnesota. Senior day for the Gophers, maybe a little playing for pride kind of there, but out of those games, I think there's one for sure win, the game at Minnesota, if you're Wisconsin. But again, the inconsistency kind of, rears its ugly head again here for this Wisconsin team. They started 11-2 and just four wins since that 11-2 overall start, 3-0 in the Big Ten, kind of the opposite of what we've seen from this Iowa team. And a good text at 319-366-1600 from 0835 talking about Iowa's schedule in general. Agree with you, 0835. A 50-50 schedule, depending on the Iowa team that shows up. This could be a 3-1 or a 1-3 finish. 0835 saying Indiana, the game in Bloomington scares them, but all certainly are winnable. That's very true. And again, talk about inconsistencies with Wisconsin. Iowa has the problems of their own. And if they can, again, defend the home court, I think that's a big thing here. Don't slip up against Michigan State and Nebraska. That's 11 Big Ten wins. If you can take care of business tonight, 12. And then the Indiana game, really a toss-up. It's all about refocusing after a bad loss. Not a bad loss, per se, considering quality of opponent, but a 20-point loss at Northwestern. If you can refocus, win tonight, win Saturday, take care of business in the season finale, that 3-1 finish, that is a potential there. And I think, considering the 0-3 start for the Hawkeyes in Big Ten play, that's a pretty good spot to be in. But Hawkeyes and Badgers tonight, 8 o'clock tip time on BTN. That is the game to watch tonight in the Big Ten. There's another game tonight, Minnesota taking on Maryland. That game in College Park where the Terps are 14-1. Now Minnesota just 1-7 on the road, so the Terps likely a heavy favorite in that one. Mentioned there's only one game last night in the Big Ten. That was Michigan State and Indiana, the first game back in East Lansing since the shooting on February 13th claimed the lives of three students at Michigan State and wounded five others. Michigan State winning last night, going away, beating Indiana 80-65. Big night from Tyson Walker, 23 points, 5 of 7 from downtown. A.J. Hogard with 22 as well in the win for Michigan State. And their head coach, Tom Izzo, joined Scott Van Pelt on SportsCenter late last night to share some perspective about being the head coach at Michigan State, getting a win, and continuing the healing process in East Lansing. Here's a portion of their conversation from last night.
Well, there's the stick together. You know, I think this is a time when some people think you want to be alone. You want to go somewhere, maybe not go back to school. I look at it as the opposite. You know, I learned from 9/11, the quicker we can get back to normalcy and yet not forget what happened, not forget the people. We still got five fighting for their lives. You know, continue to support those people. But in all honesty, Scott, you got to move forward. And I hope that we help bring 650,000 alums, a community together. And that student body was unbelievable. It wasn't me. It was our players and the student body. They were unbelievable.
You know better than most, Tom. There are nights when a great building, and your building is, they won't let you lose. This felt different. You gave them 2 hours of joy. What did they give you? I'm not talking about your team, Tom. I'm talking about Tom Izzo's 28 years. What did that student body, what did that building give you tonight?
Scott, they gave me a lot of love, to be honest with you, from the minute I walked out to the minute I walked back out. It was incredible. You know, I said, I don't like the place. I don't love the place. I live the place. I mean, that's what I've done here. And I think the students appreciated that. And hopefully it'll make them realize that the school they go to and the teams they support and where they graduate from is important. And hopefully they can carry it on a lifetime. I know I've carried it on now for 28 years as head coach and almost 40 as far as being here as an assistant and a GA and all those things.
I've admired from afar what it is to be a Spartan. You know, we're on the other side of the Big Ten. I know that the, half the league still doesn't think we're supposed to be in it, but that's fine. You're stuck with us, man. But I admire what that is. And I think we've seen in this last week what it is to be a Spartan. You said last week, we always figure out how to get through it. Tom, and as a last thought, how would you explain to folks that don't know what that means, what it is to be a Michigan State Spartan?
You know, we're the blue-collar place, you know, and damn proud of it. And we're the grinders, you know. We just grind our way through it. And I think if you would have seen the vigil and the number of people from our community and the number of students, I mean, I think we stick together, you know, and we fight through some things. And, you know, it's why I've never left here. I love what we stand for. You know, we're Spartans, we're fighters, we're survivors, and we're going to keep on trucking.
Tom Izzo with Scott Van Pelt from SportsCenter last night, audio courtesy of ESPN. The Spartans win creates an even bigger logjam in the Big Ten standings. You've got a now six-way tie for fourth place in the Big Ten standings as of today. Iowa, the good news for them, the Hawkeyes are 5-1 versus the teams they are tied with. The six-way tie involves the Hawkeyes, Illinois, Michigan State, Rutgers, Maryland, and Michigan. Iowa 5-1 versus those teams. So if the season ended today, the Hawkeyes would be the number four seed in the Big Ten tournament. The only loss in those six games with those teams was to Michigan State in East Lansing. So a six-way tie. All those teams at 9-7 in Big Ten play. Purdue 1.5-game lead on Northwestern. Northwestern sitting at 11-5, Purdue's 13-4, and then Indiana with the loss last night dropping to 10-7. Indiana is a half game up on that six-way logjam. So if Indiana were, or if any of those teams were to win here over the next couple nights, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. Lots of tie-breaking to be done if the season ended today. And when the season ends, that is for sure in the Big Ten. I got to get to a quick break. We will take that, come back, a few more college hoops notes, and then we will get into a little bit NFL, some updates from the NFL and the XFL before we step out of here today. Spencer at Sports on a Wednesday. I'm Jim. Oh, 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 oh.
Don't risk getting stranded with a bad battery. Let the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts test your battery for free. If it needs to be replaced, get up to a $15 O'Reilly gift card after rebate with purchase of select SuperStart batteries. For power, performance, and reliability, choose SuperStart batteries at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Union Pacific Railroad wants you to join its team. It's an opportunity that comes with great pay and benefits. There are a variety of open roles across its 23-state network, including train crew positions, with hiring and relocation incentives of up to $50,000 in some locations. You can even get a free college education while working. Union Pacific Railroad connects hundreds of communities, hauling goods Americans rely on every day. Get your career on the right track with Union Pacific and apply today at up.jobs/sports. That's up.jobs/sports.
Just like that, we're back at 2:45. Spencer on Sports here with you for another 15 minutes or so. Gym class in between 3 and 4. Todd Brommelkamp Show on the way between 4 and 6. Our poll question to KGYMradio.com. Will Iowa win tonight in Madison? Simple yes or no question. You could vote at KGYMradio.com, courtesy of our friends at Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City. Quick look around the rest of college basketball and a college hoops heavy show today, but disappointing effort for Iowa State last night. I said I thought it was going to be tough for them to go into Austin and win and complete the sweep, and I was right, very right last night. Texas winning 72-54, Iowa State with a 10-4 lead early on, 16-0 run from Texas to take a 20-10 lead, and it was all Longhorns from there as the Longhorns get the series split this year with the Cyclones. Of course, Iowa State won in Ames. Texas winning in Austin last night to stay tied atop the Big 12. Tough one coming up for them. They play at Baylor on Saturday. Baylor lost last night at K-State, so should be a fun one as the Longhorns and Baylor get together. Leading scorer for Iowa State last night, Oshuni with 12 points and 6 rebounds. Gabe Kalscher adding in 10. Sir Jabari Rice had 15. Tyrese Hunter, the former Cyclone, with 15 as well. And Marcus Carr, the former Minnesota Golden Gopher, added in 13 for Texas. Iowa State with the loss, 17-10 overall, 8-7 in the Big 12. Opportunity for a get-right game Saturday. Oklahoma in last place in the league. Very tough league, so don't want to say it's a guaranteed they're going to win on Saturday. But Iowa State will host Oklahoma Saturday at 11 a.m. Oklahoma losing to Texas Tech. How about those Red Raiders? 4 straight wins for Tech. They started 1-10 in Big 12 play, but now 5-10, and actually moving into the conversation, according to Joe Lenardi, as of yesterday, had them in still out of the tournament, but now into at least some consideration if they can keep winning here. And I mentioned that K-State game, Kansas State sweeping the season series with Baylor, winning by 10, 75-65 in Manhattan last night. Marquette beating Creighton by 2 over in Omaha, 73-71. Did have one upset. It's actually 2 upsets technically last night. You had Texas A&M win over Tennessee, 68-63. Villanova knocking off Xavier, 64-63 last night in Big 12 play. Number 1 and number 2 teams in the country in men's hoops are in action tonight. Houston is hosting Tulane, and number 2, Alabama is playing at South Carolina. That's a wrap on college hoops. Lots of that to talk about today. Real quick check of the NFL here for you this afternoon. SportsCenter talked about this at top of the hour, but in case you missed it, Brock Purdy waiting for what reporters are saying is swelling in his right elbow to go down so he could have his torn UCL repaired. That procedure was supposed to happen today in Arlington, Texas, but after Purdy met with Dr. Keith Meister on Tuesday, they decided they are going to delay that surgery further. That's according to sources who spoke with ESPN's NFL reporters. Purdy does continue to have inflammation in the elbow. That's why the doctor recommended he postpone the surgery until it goes down further. They are aiming to regroup both sides, the doctor who's going to do the operation and Brock Purdy, hoping to get back together in early March and have it get taken care of then. Sounds like if this process they want to go in, I don't want to get too far into it. I'm not a medical expert, not a doctor by any means, medical expert by any means, but just reading through the report from ESPN, if the process goes the way they want it to, this repair, it's called an internal brace repair. It comes with a recovery timeline of about 6 months, which would allow Purdy to begin throwing again in about 3 months with a slow buildup back to full strength. So presumed he would be ready in time for training camp this summer, but have to see if that surgery can happen in the timeline that they want it to. They want it to happen in. And some news here as well. Not great news for the XFL after week one of version 3.0 of the XFL. SportMediaWatch.com reporting the four XFL games televised by ABC and ESPN this past weekend had a big decline in viewership, a decline of at least 50% from the same windows in 2020 when that was XFL 2.0. That season was, of course, cut short because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Vegas and Arlington, the first game at ABC, drew 1.54 million viewers. That is a 54% drop if you go back to February of 2020. The numbers also, according to SportMediaWatch.com, lagging behind the USFL debut in 2022, which drew 3.07 million viewers. So we'll have to see if it rebounds. 1 week does not, of course, you know, spell doom or success or whatever, but certainly not what the XFL folks were hoping for with a 50% reduction in viewership. You know, they play in the games, but people aren't watching, at least not in week one. We'll see if week two is any better. There is XFL action on Thursday. We'll see if What could be worse, I guess? XFL Thursday Night Football or the actual Thursday Night Football that we got this year? Some of those matchups? Oh, boy. That sounds like an experiment. I'm not sure if I want to try it, considering bad football versus bad football. Which football is the baddest, the worst? I guess we'll find out coming up tomorrow night. More on that later on in the week. 2:52, quick timeout. A little bit of baseball on the other side. It's Spencer at Sports in the Gym.
Hi, this is Joe Cordell with the law firm Cordell & Cordell. Divorce can be complicated, especially if children are involved. If you're a father and want to protect your role in your children's lives, remember Cordell & Cordell. We've helped men with matters like these for 30 years, and we'd love to help you.
Contact the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Des Moines area attorneys, a partner men can count on. 515-518-0000. Online at cordellcordell.com. That's cordellcordell.com.
You're going to feel a puff of air.
Zhang's optometry has set their sights on staffing up.
Try the next line. Hey, Kim, can you tell our 2 o'clock we're running 15 behind? Sorry, we're a bit backed up today.
He needs an optometric technician to keep an eye on it all.
Where are the dilation drops?
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
2:53, back with you here on a Wednesday. Stay safe out there if you're heading out this afternoon and into the evening with the freezing rain and sleet. Hope you're able to get home safely if you did make it into the office today. We got Iowa State women's basketball coming your way at 6 tonight. Pregame show starts at 6 with the tip-off time at 6:30. The Cyclones down in Stillwater taking on Oklahoma State. Have that for you on the Cyclone Sports Network starting at 6 right here on KGYM. 319-366-1600. Finishing the show with just a bad luck story. Terry Francona, one of the good guys in baseball, of course, led the Guardians. I had to remind myself not to say the I word there, but led the Guardians to a nice postseason run with last year's postseason run in the American League playoffs. Terry Francona apparently still gets nervous before delivering the first speech of spring training to his players. And according to reports, it came with a price for the Cleveland manager. This is according to ESPN.com. Terry Francona, it's just a bad luck day for him. Francona apparently broke a tooth while preparing to speak to the Guardians ahead of spring training and their kickoff in Goodyear, Arizona, because he wanted to work on his remarks. He apparently skipped dinner with his staff on Monday to prepare what he was going to say. He made some pasta. It was undercooked, and because the pasta was frozen at the bottom, he ended up breaking part of his tooth. So you broke your tooth. Well, it got worse from there. He arrived at the team's facility, speech in hand, ready to go, and he ended up spilling coffee all over his speech. Made his speech, got through it just fine, not a good series of events for Terry Francona. Hey, if he could do what he does in the baseball dugout, manage a team, and still get as nervous as I think a lot of us can when it comes to speaking in front of people or speaking in public, just shows he's still one of us despite his success in the baseball dugout as the manager for Cleveland. Just a bad luck day. I'm not going to dinner with the team because I got to prepare this. And you don't make your dinner right, break a tooth, spill coffee on your speech. There are worse things in life to happen. I think that's a lesson we can all take away from that. But hopefully Terry gets it together. I'm sure he has. He delivered the speech. He said it went well. So that's all we can ask for in a situation like that. Some days you got bad days, that is for sure. Remind you of a poll question at KGYMradio.com. Will Iowa win tonight in Madison? Can they get a win at the Kohl Center? Something that doesn't come easy, doesn't come often. Yes or no question. You could vote at KGYMradio.com, courtesy of Hawkeye Title and Settlement. That'll wrap it up for us here on the show today. Gym class on the way next with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes. I see Scott. He does not have skates on him, so he didn't need to skate into the office today, Scott. He slip slide your way. So Scott and Mark are here. They'll be with Mark Ironside today talking wrestling and plenty more today between 3 and 4. Todd Brommelkamp on the way between 4 and 6 with WagerWise just after 5:30 here today. Have a great rest of your day. We will talk to you tomorrow at 2 here in KGYM.